Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan Dockich from The Fan and Indy, also of ESPN. His son, of course, played for John Beilein at Michigan. Dan, how are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Should Cavs fans be excited right now? What do you think?
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, what are you going to do, hire some assistant coach from the G League, which is what I was hearing? I mean, hell yeah, you should be. I mean, you got a guy that's an adult. You got a guy that commands respect. You got a guy that can coach offense. You better get some players because all that don't really matter unless you have players. Yeah, I mean, it was John's, you know, nobody knows or says, but John's flirted with NBA jobs. John's always looking at the next level. And you know, I know last year I don't think the interview went great with the Pistons when he talked to him. I don't know that for a fact, but I've been told that from people that kind of know. And he's been looking to get in the NBA. And, yeah, look, to me, Brad Stevens, in terms of college guys, I always put Shaka Smart in there too, but Shaka struggled a little bit at Texas. But they've been – I think at the forefront of integrity, player development, innovative offense. Yeah, I think they should be, sure.
What's going to be Beilein's biggest challenge coming to the NBA after spending his life in college?
You know what I think it's going to be? The lack of impact that a coach can actually have X's and O's late in the game. You know, it's interesting. It's like I remember talking to Brad Stevens when he first went to Boston. He goes, man. He goes, think about it. He goes, you think you have a great defensive setup, and all of a sudden Kevin Durant lifts up and drills a shot and you lose. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, in college, if you have the same kind of setup, maybe it's the third guy that lifts up and misses a shot and you go home as a winner. And it's that's it. I mean, the guys are so good. They're so talented, particularly offensively, that it doesn't really matter sometimes how good you are, X's and O's. How solid your team is. Sometimes dudes just go get 45 and whip your ass. I mean, and that's what Brad, you know, Brad always, you know, and whenever I talked to him about it, which isn't often, but whenever I did, that was always the thing. But it's also the thing that makes you want to be an NBA coach. Like, hey, look, I'm trying to stop the best of the best, and I've got the best of the best playing for me too. So, I don't know, it's pretty cool.
We're talking with Dan Dockich from The Fan and Indy and ESPN. Dan, what about the challenge that every college coach faces that doesn't have experience in the NBA, that now it's not college kids, you can't control the situation as much, they're professionals, especially a guy that's been in college for 40 years. That you're not worried about that?
Yeah, no, I think a couple of things. That's what I said about John. He's kind of the adult in the room. I mean, he's not one of those guys that's, you know, kind of a, you know, he's not trying to be cool. He's trying to teach. And the thing that I've always thought about basketball players, particularly NBA basketball players, at least based on the guys that I've known that coach it, is, you know what, guys are really receptive to guys that they think are making them better. And that's John. I mean, that's who John is. That's, you know, he's a teacher. So, yeah, I think they're, you know, let's be honest. One of the great things, the way the world has gone in sports now is if you want to be a successful professional organization, you weed out the idiots. I mean, you just do. I mean, really, you think about the competition to be on the football team of the Browns or the competition to be on the Cavaliers team. You know, idiots need not apply unless you're uber talented or your friends are LeBron. Then you do whatever the hell you want when you're in Cleveland, but I digress. In college, the idiots run to an AD and they get you fired. So, you know what? Good for John, but John's not going to have guys that don't want to be taught. John's not going to have guys that aren't really good. John isn't a value. If somebody were going to ask me, like I hear all these guys say that John Beilein is, you know, best X's and O's coach in college basketball, I don't agree with that. I would say John's best recruiting talent evaluator in college basketball. He took kids, Glenn Robinson, the kid Burke, and made them pros. Mo Wagner. Ain't nobody in the world thought Mo Wagner was going to be an NBA draft choice. Nobody in the world, the kids from my area, thought Glenn Robinson was going to be a first-round NBA draft choice. Nobody, in fact, Ohio State didn't even recruit the kid Burke, who ended up being a first-round pick, I think. So there are so many – Stauskas, same thing. People thought Stauskas was good, but he wasn't going to be a first-round pick. So he is such a good evaluator that I think a lot of that separates him. And it's going to be interesting in the NBA, right, because – you know, you got who you got, right? I mean, whatever draft choice you got, you can evaluate and say, man, I think Zion Williamson's going to be great. This is what I would do with him. That's great. But you have no chance to get him if you are not the number one pick, whereas in college you might get him because, you know what, you recruited him harder. So that's different too. But, man, that dude can evaluate talent. He can find guys that can play for him.
And Danny's got a talented point guard here in Colin Sexton. What sort of impact do you think can he have on Sexton and in his career, his impact on point guards?
Yeah, you know what? John's done a great job. I go back to Trey Burke, and then I go to Derek Walton, and then I go to Xavier Simpson. Now, two of the guys aren't going to play in the NBA. I don't know that Xavier's going to play in the NBA, and Derek really hasn't either. But, man, they got so good. If I were Colin Sexton, I'd be celebrating. Because John understands ball screen offense. It's funny. A couple years ago, John Beilein, to college coaches, has, you know, kind of the system that he ran at West Virginia with Pitsnoggle and all this. And a few years ago, I asked one of their assistants, Jeff Meyer, I go, what the hell ever happened to all that stuff? I go, why is the ball in Trey Burke's hand? He goes, why? He goes, because we score twice as many points when Trey Burke has the ball as opposed to when we run our offense. And John, as a coach, really embraced ball screen offense. And if I were Sexton, I would be so freaking happy that John Beilein is my coach. Because again, this is not some G League coach trying to figure it out. This is a guy who understands it, has coached it, has taught it, makes you better. And this is not some old curmudgeon. You know, the worst thing you can be in this day and age is be a coach or a broadcaster and say, well, you know, I'm setting my ways. John Beilein isn't setting his ways. John Beilein studies, he works, he improves. And I'm telling you, I know Colin Sexton got good at the end of the year. Colin Sexton just got a new freaking lease on his career because he's going to be so much better from the get-go with John Beilein. That I promise you. I don't know if the team's going to be any good because you got to find some guys in right now. I think your roster's horrible. But Sexton's
right.
Going to be a lot better.
We're talking with Dan Dockich from the Fan and Indy and ESPN. Dan, trying to make the roster better here. We'll get the lottery tomorrow night, and obviously the Cavs, like the Knicks and the Suns and some other teams, are hoping to get that first overall pick. How and where do you think is the biggest drop-off? Is it between 1 and 2? Is it between 3 and 4? Where is the biggest drop-off in the early part of this draft?
That is such a great question. I don't necessarily know the foreign guys, so I'm going to take those guys out. The interesting guy for me after the draft, I do think 1 is a major drop-off to 2, but I would say this. I think John Morant, at least based on people that I respect, they really like him. They think he's going to be very good. He's not going to be like, who are those other guys, like Cameron Payne or those guys. He's going to be a legitimately really good player. And a lot of people like R.J. Barrett, he's going to have to shoot it better. But you know what happens in the NBA, man? You work so hard, and you don't have these idiotic college rules of 20 hours a week we can work with. You just get out, and you got nothing else to do but go in the gym. I like those three guys. The interesting guy for me, based on how the NBA has played, is Cam Reddish, the kid from Duke, who's 6'6". Actually, I happen to stand next to him, and I judge it by me because in shoes I'm a little over 6'5". He's longer and tall, and he can shoot it. So I'm really kind of curious, like, does this kid become, I don't know, does he become a Bradley Beal? Does he become even a Gordon Hayward when he was in Utah, not the one that's been injured?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with that kid because he is long, he shoots it, he's a confident kid, you know. But let's be honest, you go to Duke, you got all this Zion mania, and then Barrett's shooting twice as much as Williamson shooting. So yeah. It's like, where the hell do I fit, right? But I tell you what, man, if I don't know that anybody's going to draft him 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know, but that's a kid that fascinates me. If we have this conversation a year from now, see where he's at.
Yeah, getting back to Zion for a minute, we agree with you on the Cavs roster. Kevin Love is a shell of himself, can't stay healthy. But in theory, let's say Kevin Love can play 65 games next year. Could the Cavs with Zion Williamson, is he that good that with a healthy Kevin Love, could they possibly be a 38-40 win team to be one of those bottom Eastern Conference playoff teams?
I think a couple of things, you know, and again, this always happens, right? And the NBA's really positioned itself. What's going to happen with the Knicks? I mean, let's be honest.
True.
What happens with the Knicks, you know, closes a spot. You got to figure if KD and Irving go there, then you're probably going to make the playoffs with that group. So that limits the spot. I'd say this. I'm fascinated by Zion Williamson from this standpoint. All right, people kill me for this.
Yeah.
But when I watched Porzingis play when he was coming out, I thought that dude makes nobody better. That dude is about himself. That dude, yeah, he can do anything you want. And I said it, and people got mad at me. I said, you draft him number two, you're going to be in the lottery for as long as he's there. And they're in the lottery again.
Yep.
I'm anxious to see if Zion Williamson, surrounded by, you mentioned Sexton, surrounded by, even though Kevin Love is a shell of himself, Kevin Love can shoot the basketball. I would be anxious to see that team. I think that would be a fun team to watch. You know, I don't know what Tristan Thompson's contract status is, but he's a guy that has been serviceable,
yeah,
you know, in the past. And there's other guys. But to me, you add Zion Williamson to a team, it's a little bit, and I don't, it's a little bit in terms of swag and other guys' reaction, a little bit like Baker Mayfield. Mm. I remember Urban telling me, man, look, people can get mad at Baker Mayfield all they want, but I love that dude. That dude tries to win, and his teammates react absolutely ridiculously well to him, and that's exactly what I saw out of Zion Williamson. I'll tell you this, it's the exact opposite of what I saw out of Ben Simmons when I did some LSU games, and I don't know if it was Ben Simmons' fault or if it was his teammates' fault. I would probably put it more on his teammates, but I'm telling you, you watch Duke, man, those dudes, it's like he's the Seinfeld, you know what I mean? Like everybody yeah. wants to be at Jerry's house, Jerry's apartment, and that's kind of who Zion Williamson is.
Dan, let's look ahead to some of these NBA conference finals, and specifically Golden State and Portland. A hell of a comeback by the Blazers to advance. Now, no Kevin Durant for game one. Don't know about game two and so on and so forth. But do you give the Blazers a chance in that series?
I hope, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know if you guys ever do this. You probably do. I just happen to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of degenerates that call me all the time and want to know who to bet on.
Mm-hmm,
so
sure.
One of the games, I said, man, hey, bet Steph Curry over 26 points. All right. So yeah, I don't know what game it was, but Durant was playing. So what I do then is I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna feel guilty. These idiots lose money, right? So I just watched Steph Curry. He hates playing with Kevin Durant. I don't care what anybody tells you. I'm telling you, he hates it. He didn't run when Durant had the ball. Then all of a sudden, he decides, all right, screw this. I'm taking the ball, and he goes off. So Durant gets hurt, and I say on the Will Cain show, it ain't going to matter because Curry hates playing with Durant, sure enough. So I think that Durant being out, the ball moves, they get back to playing like they did when they won 73 games, and they're going to be fine. But, man, I fell in love with both of those other teams. Like Jokic and Gary Harris and freaking Murray for the Nuggets. I loved watching that series, but I just don't see anybody beating Golden State 4 out of 7 times in the fourth quarter in a 2-week period.
Dan, let's wrap it up back with where we started with John Beilein here. In terms of his staff, because of the lack of NBA experience, how important is it at all to you for him to have some NBA guys in there? And also, is it important for him to have either a guy from Michigan or a guy he's coached with so he at least has that one confidant with him with these other guys he may not know as well who are NBA guys?
You know, John is a self-assured guy, so I don't know that the Michigan confidant thing. I do think the league is different, and I do think, you know, it's different than college. The players, you said it, they're different. The league, the game is different. The way you play the game, the rules are different, for crying out loud. You got 3 seconds, you know, defensive rules, just to give you an example. You don't have that in college, so I think having an NBA guy is something that you would want. And John is so confident and so into what he knows, what he can do with a team and how he wants to do it. I don't know if he would bring the defensive guy, Jokic, with him just because I think he knows that Jokic is very solid and it doesn't matter the league. I don't know. But I do think having an NBA guy on that bench to kind of help explain to him maybe what a veteran is thinking, you know, that isn't playing or isn't getting enough touches or isn't whatever or
yeah.
getting too many. I don't, you know, you're wearing him down. I don't know. But, yeah, I would think that John would have somebody of that ilk, yeah.
How many wins you got for the Browns in 2019?
Oh, man. I became a Browns fan living in Bowling Green. I haven't looked at their schedule, so this is purely blind.
Sure.
I'm going with 10.
10. All right, there it is. Dan, we appreciate it, man. Good stuff as always.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
All right, Dan Dockett. She's one of the best in the biz from the Fan and Indy, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.